This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Ted.
I'm JJ.
And we're here to tell you about our show, Conspiring to Argue.
I like it.
That is not relevant. What do we do on the show?
Well, on our podcast, what we do is take conspiracy theories, and either Ted or myself will argue about if the conspiracy is real or not.
Yep. And sometimes the conspiracies are silly. Sometimes they're, you know, in the pantheon of the greatest conspiracies of all time. It's a mixed bag.
Sometimes they're about aliens.
So check us out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sometimes they're about murder.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Con man, thief, anti-hero, Mr. Harry Lime is known by many names. Let's see what he'll be today. Today's episode, the 1951 to 1952 series, The Lives of Harry Lime, starring Orson Welles. The radio series is actually more of a prequel to the movie The Third Man, which also had Orson Welles as Harry Lime. If you enjoyed this series, please check out Volume 1 in the archive. And once again, if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. And also, share it with others. And with that, please enjoy the show.
Presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character originally created in the motion picture The Third Man. With zither music by Anton Karas.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lime. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna. As those of you know who saw the movie The Third Man. Yes, that was the end of Harry Lime. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lyme had many lives. And I can recount all of them. How do I know? Very simple. Because my name is Harry Lyme. Say what you will about Harry Lyme, he at least was honest in his desire for money and the good things of life. Harry believed in seeing the world at other people's expense. Sometimes the cost ran high as a man's life. Let me tell you about it. I know what I'm talking about.
And now, Orson Welles as Harry Lyme, the third man, in Clay Pigeon.
In 1942, my fortunes being for the moment at ebb tide, it pleased me to return to America, to New York specifically, because I heard that an old and important enemy of mine was in difficulties and wished to see me. I went to the hotel where he was staying, supposedly incognito, and made myself available at the bar. But nothing happened. I ran up quite a bar bill, and things were looking serious. So I ordered another drink. And then...
Mr. Harry Lyme?
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry to bother you.
Bother? Bothersome things were as attractively packaged, I'd gladly be the most burdened of men. Won't you join me?
I didn't come here for that reason, Mr. Lyme.
I know, it's a friendly gesture, and I have a hunch we're going to see a lot of each other. Now, since you know my name, why don't you come to yours?
That's unimportant.
Well, as a matter of opinion.
Will you please come with me?
Well, I say, isn't that approach a little bold? After all, an establishment like this frowns on such obvious...
Please, Mr. Lyme, come with me. You're the only one who can save him.
Me? Save anybody? You've come to the wrong Harry Lyme.
Please, you must, even though you hate him.
Hate him? Now you interest me now. Just which antagonist do you mean? I've got an awful lot of enemies.
You're wasting time. He'll pay you a great deal of money.
Money?
You can name your own price.
The price of my hatred comes pretty high. But for money and hate, Lyme goes anywhere. Lovely lady, lead on. Profitable business should be made as painless as possible, and this girl was a pleasure. The dark Irish type with eyes, the mold and color of the restless channel waters, and hair as blue-black as the proverbial raven's wing. I began to enjoy myself. My waiting game was going to pay off through an old enemy. It was a fine evening for cold mischief. We took the elevator in silence, walking down the corridor to the suite of my enemy. I studied my young guide. She caught my glance. Her color mounted. I smiled.
We're almost there.
I say, are you bringing me on a wild goose chase?
If it is, then it's the goose that lays the golden egg, Mr. Lyme. And this is it.
You don't approve of me, do you?
Follow me, please.
I'd love to. You're just like the rest of the public. You're always clamoring for high ideals, fair play, and always the first to indict without a hearing.
Yes?
I found him, sir.
To the contrary, I found you.
Please.
Well, come in, by all means.
The Honorable James Hadley, I believe.
Aren't you surprised to see me, Lyme?
Not particularly. This morning, when the wind from the East River brought with it the usual aroma of stale grease, ancient garbage, and sewer gas, I had an idea I might run into Governor Hadley before the day was out. Aren't you in the wrong state?
Still the same old Harry. Insulting, conniving.
And you're the man I'm supposed to help?
It's not by choice, believe me.
That I do believe, Governor. The dislike is mutual. Well, Governor, it's nice leaving you.
Wait, Lyme. I'm offering you $15,000.
If...
Had I better leave, Governor?
No. You're responsible for bringing Lyme here, Nora. Perhaps my only hope of keeping him here.
You're quite wrong, sir. There are 15,000 reasons holding me here for the time being. How long I remain depends on you. Talk.
I know how you hate me. I also know your capabilities, Lyme. You're the only man to accomplish the job I have in mind. I've already told you what I'd pay. Lyme, I'm begging you to help me.
That's good. You begging me for help. All right, sing your sad song, Hadley, old man, about the beast you must feed.
You know.
Don't I always know, Governor? Knowing who was after your official scalp, I realized you'd undoubtedly come to me for help. Use one poison as the antidote for another. Made myself available. You found me.
You mean you knew it all the time, even downstairs you knew?
In general, dear Nora, though I neither knew the sordid details nor the price to be paid for my services.
Show him the pictures, Nora.
Yes, Captain. Right here in the briefcase. Here you are.
Thank you. My Governor, I didn't think it even of you.
You see, Nora, even Lyme believes the man in those cursed pictures is me.
Very interesting. Who's the lady?
How should I know?
Oh, come on now, Governor. Official manners, or in this case, even unofficial manners, demand that you at least know the name of your female companion. Has American etiquette deteriorated to the point that you summon such creatures with a "Hey, you"?
Mr. Lyme, I'll have you know that Governor Hadley is not the man in those pictures.
And good little girl should never tell lies, Nora.
Oh, hang it all, she's telling the truth, Lyme. I never frequent such clubs as those pictures show. I'm here. Here, look at this one. You recognize a newcomer to the party.
Yes, Cato. Cato, the robber baron. I admire his instincts, but not always his performance. He's a bit clumsy.
Trubus Cato. Gambler, ward heater, grafter.
Such dear, nostalgic words. You almost make me homesick, Governor.
Be sensible, Lyme. Can you imagine me in such company at any time, particularly with an election coming up next month?
Not unless you're even more stupid than you used to be, James. But then everything is possible.
Really, Mr. Lyme, this is the...
But cameras don't lie.
You, above anyone else, should know better than that, Lyme. How many times have you faked a picture to gain your ends?
Touché, Governor, but then I always do things the hard way. You told Nora that yourself.
Yes, hard for your victims. Oh, but this isn't getting us any place. No matter what else you may choose to think of me, Lyme, you know my term in office has been clean.
Insofar as proof is concerned, the incorruptible Governor Hadley. However, these pictures prove extremely embarrassing, old man. The untouchable Hadley seems to have been taken.
I don't know much about you, Mr. Lyme, except that you hate Governor Hadley. But now he's asking for your help. No matter what happened in the past between you, please help him. He's willing to pay. He said your hatred came high. Wasn't his offer high enough?
Nora.
That's quite all right, Governor. I admire honesty and loyalty, even though I don't approve of it or believe in it. Come here, Nora.
What?
Come here. Why don't you stand right before me? Look right into my eyes, straight in my eyes. Answer a question.
Well, Mr. Lyme, what is it?
If I were the governor, and you were my secretary, would you be as honest, as loyal?
As honest? Yes. As loyal? No.
I see. Well, why the great concern about these pictures, Hadley? Surely your indiscretions aren't that important.
Then you are going to help me.
I'm considering it.
Then you know those pictures are important, Lyme. Cato's going to use them to ruin me.
Why?
He wants control of my state. Either his crooked syndicate moves in, or he sends these pictures to every newspaper in the state on the eve of the election.
Trubus Cato has improved with the years. He's almost worthy of me.
I never expected you to understand, Lyme. But I thought the fee might make it worth your while. Re-election means a great deal to me. I've worked hard for my office. Yeah. I don't want to win or lose because of a hoodlum like Cato. And I don't want my wife, my family, to be subjugated to this kind of smear campaign. They don't deserve it.
Spoken like a true family man, an American and a politician.
Governor Hadley, there must be some other way to get the negatives than this man.
Oh, please, not.
Elaine, the fair Elaine, the lovable Elaine, the lily maid of Astolat. High in her chamber, up a tower to the east, guarded the sacred shield. I'll get the negatives and the rest of these pictures from Cato. For $15,000.
Oh, thank heaven.
And dismissal of all charges against me in your state, old man.
What?
The price is cheap, Governor, for your career, your family.
Well, Governor, you can't.
Just a moment, Nora. Very well, Lyme. You'll get me those negatives and you'll receive your money and full pardon.
I'll take the money now.
I expected that. Pay him, Nora.
How do you know you can trust him, sir?
You're the only man I know who can outwit Cato. I've got to trust him.
My fee, Miss Peyton?
Here it is.
You'd better count it, Mr. Lyme.
But why? I trust you.
Oh.
Just how do you plan to contact Cato?
Well, that's easy enough. Easy to find a man like Cato. The hard part is in avoiding him. You should know that very well, Governor.
Well, what is my next move?
Right back to your nice snug capital, return to your ivory tower, Hadley, and carry on business as usual.
Very well. Might as well start packing, Nora. We'll leave at once.
Yes, Governor.
No.
What?
Nora stays with me.
I what?
Now, listen here, lad.
Cato doesn't know her by sight, does he?
I don't think so. He contacted me away from his office.
And she'll be on go-between. You can still pack, Nora. I want you to register at another hotel, the Plaza. I'll meet you at the cocktail lounge in 3 hours.
Just what do you think?
Nora, I'd appreciate it if you would cooperate with Mr. Lyme in whatever way you can.
Well, Nora?
Very well, Governor. I'll do my best.
You understand, Nora. We must trust Mr. Lyme.
Well, who wants to talk in the hall, Cato? Let me in.
Come in, then.
Well,
what have you found out, Izzy?
I am tailing Governor Hadley like you want, ever since he sneaked into town.
Yeah. Come to the point.
Who is staying away from the point? The governor is making contacts with every main hood in New York. But nobody wants to go against Cato. Only Hadley must be finding someone who will go against you, because he leaves the hotel 3 hours ago.
Leaves?
Checks out, is taking a powder. But before that, he sends his girl down to the bar.
Girl? What girl?
Who knows her name? But who this girl talks to down at the bar, you'll never guess.
Come on, Gib. I'm not playing guessing games.
All right, Cato. So don't get sore at me. I'm trying to tell you all the time. She meets a Harry Lyme. I hear her say the name.
Harry Lyme.
This is not good news.
Harry Lyme's the only guy, but the only guy who can louse me up. He would have to come to New York. Come on.
Come on where?
To the Plaza, you jerk. If Lyme's to come into this game, he's going to be on my side, alive or dead.
Mr. Lyme.
Nora, never dared hope you'd be this eager to see me.
It's Cato over at the bar.
Oh, have a drink.
What are you going to do about Cato?
Careful, when it comes to waiter.
Yes, sir. What will you have?
Well, it's your pleasure, honey.
Nothing. Anything.
Well, that offers a pretty wide choice. Waiter, scotch and water for two.
Two scotch and water, it is. Thank you.
I want you to smile, Nora. Look relaxed. Listen very carefully to what I have to say.
I'll try.
Glad you bless me once before I die.
What?
Your smile. It's the first time I've seen it. Its radiance is breathtaking.
Please.
Now leave me at once, Nora. When you're going to the powder room, don't return. Go to your room and stay there.
I don't understand.
Mr. Cato is preparing to beard me in his den, and I want you around when he does.
But I...
Coming this way. Hurry. I haven't called you by morning. Get back to the capital fast.
What about you?
Why, Nora, I never dreamed you came.
Oh, of all the...
Your scotch and water, sir?
Fine. Yes. There you are.
Ah, thank you, sir.
Drinking alone, Lyme? That can turn into a bad habit.
Troop is Cato in the flesh. It is flesh, isn't it, old boy?
Same old Harry. How about buying me the next round, Harry? At my place.
Why, Trubus, old man. Are you thinking of taking me for a ride?
Why,
oh,
Harry.
It's all right, old man. I'm game for anything. Shall we go?
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man. Orson Welles as the third man continues with Play Pigeon.
You know, it sounds funny.
telling you the truth, I was being taken for a ride. And a long one. A silent one. Once we got in the car, Trubus stopped talking, and I was not in the mood to make any conversation. I had my tiger by the tail, and I waited for his move.
Wait in the car, Izzy. This won't take long.
Okay, boss.
I am waiting.
After our nocturnal tour, you bring me to a ruin like this? Really, Cato, I thought you were doing pretty well.
I'm doing fine, Harry. Place on the state line, not too far from the capital. Makes it handy.
For you or the governor?
Wait and see.
Trubus! Well, this is a surprise.
Hadley!
Who's this fellow, Trubus?
The face is Jim Hadley's and the voice is almost identical.
Inside, Luke. Come on, Harry. And I'll buy you that drink I promised.
Sure. Drinks on the house.
Yes, I could use one.
Now, sit down, Harry.
I didn't think I'd see you so soon again, Trubus. What happened? Did you...
Shut up. Pour the drinks.
Sure, Trubus.
Now, Harry, I'm open for business.
All right. To risk the obvious, this isn't Governor Hadley.
Hey, you bet I'm not.
The Hadley boys were identical twins. Luke here was the black sheep of the family. Also was supposed to have died in a train wreck 15 years ago.
Identical twins, the oldest pitch in the world.
Luke was the man in those pictures. So simple it always works. Even fool you, Harry.
Oh, I can be fooled. I can be fooled with that.
Luke's lived on jealousy and whiskey ever since he's seen the accident. He crossed my path several years ago just as I was figuring how to move into Jim Hadley's state. He was an answer from heaven.
Yeah, or the devil. I thought I had luck.
I can give you a fat fee, Harry, and a fine chance to pay off your old grudge against the governor.
Since when has benevolence become one of your characteristics, Cato?
What about this fat fee? You only paid me.
Shut up. As you know, I've already made the first contact with the governor.
How do you know I know?
Takes one to catch one, Harry. As I said, I got Jim over a barrel. I know he's bought you to get the pictures from me, but if you come into my deal, you not only make yourself some money, but you can put the final squeeze on the good governor.
Planning to set me up as a clay pigeon, are you, old man? Sending me to make the actual transaction so you can move your syndicate into the state while I'm caught with my blackmail down.
No, Harry, you know I wouldn't do that.
To coin a cliche about thieves, Cato.
I know. How much is the governor paying you to get these negatives?
$15,000 and a full pardon.
$15,000? Why, Trubus, you only gave me $500 to pose in those pictures.
I'll give you $25,000 to come in with me, Harry.
$25,000 in advance?
Half of it. The rest when the deal is clinched.
Listen here, Trubus, if you're so quick to throw money around, toss some my way. I'd be
cheating. And the percentage of my gross to take when I'm in the state. It'll be like an annuity, Harry.
You listen to me, Trubus. You cut me in on this big deal you're talking about. If you don't, I'll go to jail.
You know what, Luke?
Nothing, kiddo. I didn't mean... I was only trying to... What are you going to do, Trubus?
Izzy? Take this rat and let Muggsy work him over. He talks too much.
No, I promise not to talk. You need me. I'll never...
Come on, Luke.
No. No, please.
Come on.
I won't, no.
Well... What's your answer, Harry?
Do all of your business partners get that treatment, old man?
No, of course not. He's always asking for it. But now us, for instance. Why, we'll clean up in Happy State. Slot machines, numbers, racket, dope protection, and that's just the beginning. Harry, give us 5 years and we'll be making money from every man, woman, and child in the United States.
Compared to you, Joe Stalin is an amateur. I don't think I'll settle for a mere percentage, Kate, I don't know. Our deal's got to be 50-50, or I won't come over and slide down your cellar door.
50-50? Why, you... Do you think you'll get away with this?
I'm certain of it. No, because the young lady was with me at the plaza.
What about her?
She's Hadley's secretary. I spent a great deal of time and effort on getting a complete file of your misdemeanors, Cato. If I fail to contact her, copies of said file will immediately be sent to all state and federal law enforcement offices. Your pitiful tintypes will be forgotten in the headlines about Trubus Cato. You wouldn't want to be named public enemy number one.
50-50 it is.
Governor Hadley.
Nora. Good heavens, girl.
What's happened?
Harry Lime, he's with Cato now, or at least he talked with him last night. By this time, he might be dead.
Dead?
Why don't you call the police or the FBI? You're the governor. Do something.
You too, Nora.
What do you mean?
The notorious Lime Charm. The man's brutal, merciless, vindictive. Lives only for himself. Yet when he wishes, he can hide all this with a cloak of magnetism. Great fascination. He's blinded you, Nora.
No, I hate him. He's a horrible man. I don't know what he is. It's been terrible, all of it. Seeing Cato waiting all night for Harry's call, not hearing, coming here.
Yeah, I know, my dear. Believe me, I'm sorry. Yes?
Governor Hadley, I'm Mr. Harry Lyme to see you.
Harry.
And Mr. Cato.
Cato here? Send them in, please.
Yes, sir.
What can it mean?
I don't know.
Good afternoon, Governor Hadley. Nora.
Mr. Lyme.
And who is Cato? Surely you haven't forgotten me, Governor.
Cato, I told you once and for all.
Don't be too hasty, Mr. Governor. My proposition is so good that Mr. Lyme has come in on the deal with me.
What?
But you agreed to...
Lyme? Is this thug telling the truth?
I've bought certain contracts for your signature, Governor. They'll allow Mr. Cato full-scale operations in your state.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
I can't believe it, Lyme. Not even you.
The price of the negatives, Governor. Oh, you'd better give me those negatives now, Cato. Prove our good faith to Governor Hadley.
What good faith? Oh, but here you are, Harry. The negatives and the rest of the pictures.
All nicely tied with a pretty ribbon, Governor. A ribbon as blue as Nora's eyes.
You. How small can you get?
Now, when you sign Mr. Cato's contracts, Governor, I'll deliver the negatives to Miss Bateman.
That's right. Just sign on the dotted line, Hadley, and everybody will be happy.
Sold out because I trusted a rat.
Here's your pen, Governor.
And here.
Back, Nora. Get out of the way.
Lyme, what?
What are you doing?
Down on the floor, Governor. Down on the floor.
A gun. Are you crossing me, Harry?
Hold it, Cato. It's my deal.
Oh, yes? Ah.
You killed him.
What happened? No shot.
I suggest you call an ambulance, young lady. There's been an attempt on Governor Hadley's life.
My goodness.
And keep those people out of here for a minute.
How can I ever thank you, Lyme?
You risked your life, Harry, and all the time we saw...
Save it. I had to kill Cato to take over his very lucrative business myself. I'll keep these negatives, Governor.
You'll what?
No, Harry, no.
This is one time, Governor Hadley, when you're not getting off so easily. These incriminating negatives in my possession, like the sword of Damocles, will be suspended over your uneasy head from now on. Call them Harry Lyme's annuity, Governor. Now, if you'll excuse me.
I might have expected this.
And I was beginning to think you were a human being.
By the time I left the Capitol building, the stars were out. The stars was reached by hard ways. I searched for a likely alley. An alley that was dark enough, lonely enough. This one will do well enough. Better remove the ribbon. Blue ribbon. Better to burn them.
Oh,
another voyage of the night. Greetings, cat. Mutually. Come closer. Seem to be ablaze. First the negatives. My candle burns at both ends. It will not last the night. But are my friends and all my foes. Gives a lovely light.
Wow.
Thank you, friend. Your applause is deeply appreciated. Now we have the pictures. Does that warm you, cat?
You there. Now, what do you think you're doing in this alley?
Isn't it fairly obvious, officer? I'm making a fire.
How are you now?
Burning some love letters. Girl named Nora.
Nora, huh? Well, that's a good Irish name.
She had the bluest eyes this side of heaven. I'll leave the ashes to you, officer.
Hey, by the saints, you're Harry Lyme. Come back here!
So long. Harry
Lime returns in just a moment.
Goodbye for now. And remember what Ben Franklin said about honesty being the best policy. I wish I could. Just keep slipping my mind.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character, originally created in the motion picture The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Karas.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lime. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna. As those of you know who saw the movie The Third Man. Yes, that was the end of Harry Lime. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lime had many lives. And I can recount all of them. How do I know? Very simple. Because my name is Harry Lime. I was down on my luck, way down, scraping the bottom. A couple of deals had fallen through, and I found myself in Paris with a lot of time on my hands and only the price of a beer in my pocket. I was spending my time and the money at Fouquet's, not because the beer is any cheaper at Fouquet's, but because, well, you meet a nicer class of people, and besides, they let you read the newspapers free. So I was reading a newspaper, and I came on the advertisement. One of those classified ads in the personal column was addressed to Harry Lime. Harry Lime being me, I read on with some interest. There was no signature, no address. Mr. Harry Lime, it said, will find a business opportunity of an extremely profitable nature in the city of Tangier. Now, I might have thought this was one of the boys trying to hustle me out of Paris or just trying to be funny, except that the advertisement mentioned the city of Tangier. Now, why Tangier? There are very few places in the world I haven't been to, and Tangier just happened at the time to be one of them. Also, Tangier, as everybody knows, is full of money, and I couldn't imagine anybody wanting to send me there right in the heart of the free gold area where every second address is a bank and every second person's an international operator just for a gag. Probably more chances in Tangier to grab a fast buck than you'll find in the world today. So I was inclined to take the ad a little seriously. Of course, it might have been a police trap. There are cops in countries all over the globe busy looking for me. Some of them are just sharp enough to try to pull me in on a queer come-on like that. But the truth is that one of the only cities left where they don't happen to want me for what's known as questioning is the port of Tangier. And that's what sold me. There's just one complication. My beer was finished, and with it, my financial resources. How to raise the price of the ticket.
Now, Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man, in today's story, Ticket to Tangier.
While I was brooding about how to raise the price of the ticket to Tangier, my eye happened to wander down the personal column of the newspaper, and a little below the advertisement addressed to me was this: Gentleman traveling to Tangier.
A visit to the desk of the porter at the Lancaster Hotel on Rue de Berry will repay any businessman planning a visit to Tangier who could whistle a certain tune. Well, of course, that didn't have to be Harry Lyme, but there's a song I'm fond of, one I've been whistling for years. Anybody who knew about me might know about that song. Anyway, what could I lose? Went over to the hotel and approached the concierge. Bonjour. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, monsieur. What can I do for you?
Well, I don't quite know that you can do anything. You happen to read the Paris edition of the Herald Tribune?
No, monsieur. I prefer to follow the news in my own language, but we have copies of the paper you mentioned for sale.
No, thanks. I've seen it.
Perhaps monsieur is calling for someone in the hotel, one of the guests. Whom shall I announce?
Harry Lyme.
Perhaps I should have asked you first who it is you are coming to see.
Now, that I couldn't tell you. Just tell me this. Do you like to whistle?
I am a lover of music, monsieur, but I do not whistle. No. As a young lad, however, in the orchestra of my school, I was considered quite proficient on the bassoon.
Well, try this on your bassoon.
Ah, yes, of course. I have something for you, Mr. Lyme. Here.
Oh, well, thanks very much. Yes, it's addressed to me, all right, but that's all it is in the envelope, just my name. I wonder, would it be asking too much if I asked you to tell me who this is from?
Monsieur, it would be asking too much.
Oh, okay, well, man, thanks anyway. I wish I could give you something for your trouble, but I forgot my wallet this morning.
That was anticipated, monsieur.
What do you mean?
Everything, monsieur, has been taken care of.
Everything?
Yes, monsieur, that is the word, I believe. Everything.
In the envelope was an airline ticket for Tangier, 50,000 francs in nice fresh notes, and the following letter. My dear Mr. Lyme, when you arrive in Tangier, go immediately to the El Mirador Hotel, where a suite is reserved for you. After you've dined, go to a cabaret called the Kabbalah. Wait there for instructions.
Excuse me, monsieur. No,
oh, yes, porter. Is anything wrong?
Nothing is wrong, monsieur, but it is 2:45, and your plane leaves Orly at 3:15.
Oh, okay, old man, okay. I'm on my way. Just call me a cab, would you please?
No need for that, monsieur. A limousine has been ordered for you. It is waiting at the door.
Very pleasant trip with a very, very, very attractive hostess on board.
Are you quite comfortable, Mr. Lyme?
Oh, yes, I'm fine, thanks.
Isn't there anything you like?
Well, I'd like to know what you're doing tonight after we land.
I mean, wouldn't you like some more coffee or maybe a pillow?
I know what you mean, and you know what I meant.
Tangier is a very interesting city. First there's the Arabs and the Casbah and all that, and then there's the modern European city. It's an international port, of course, with 14 different countries in control, but of course you know that.
Yes, I've heard tell.
I guess you're making fun of me. You're a businessman. You've probably been to Tangier many times.
Well, let me take that up point by point. I'm not a businessman. I've never been to Tangier, and I wouldn't dream of making fun of you. Just answer me one question.
I go back on a return flight at 6 in the morning, Mr. Lyme, and I'm sleeping.
You haven't answered the question. Besides, my name isn't Mr. Lyme.
Oh, that's what it says on the manifest.
My name is Harry. Have you been to a nightclub in Tangier called the Kabbalah?
Oh, yes, I have.
You have what?
Yes, I have Harry.
It was a nice nightclub?
It's the best in town.
That's good. Glad you like it. I've reserved a table for us, okay?
Fasten your safety belt. We're coming in.
You know something?
What?
You're one of the few girls outside of Havana I ever danced with who knows anything at all about the Roomba.
I learned it in Havana.
That almost explains it.
What do you mean, almost?
Okay, you learned to dance in Havana, and so do lots of other people. Okay, you're a hostess on an airline. You're very good-looking, and there are lots of good-looking hostesses who dance the Roomba, but they don't dance that well. They're none of them are this beautiful. No, I don't know what I mean by almost, but really, you know, you're almost too good to be true.
No, I'm not so good.
That's good.
You don't even know my name.
Yes, I do. I have a sign on the door of the cockpit, the plane that says Captain T.R. Stevenson, co-pilot J. O'Brady, air hostess P. Smith. So that's your name, isn't it? P. Smith. May I call you P?
P is for Patsy.
Okay, we'll settle for that. Should we sit down? That champagne ought to be cold enough by now.
It's awfully close in here. Why don't we forget the champagne and take a walk outside?
No, wonderful. I'll just pay the check.
Don't bother. It's been taken care of.
What do you mean?
The check has been paid.
Now, look here, Olga. We can't have that. You're my guest, remember. Besides, I'm the male in the party, and I have my pride.
I'm sorry, Harry. It's all taken care of. Come on.
Good night, mademoiselle.
Good
night.
Good night,
monsieur.
Good night. Good night. Patsy, I'm going to take something back.
What's that, Harry?
One little word.
What's the word?
Almost.
I don't understand you.
Well, I used it describing you, but it doesn't fit. The word almost could never be applied to you. Whatever you are, that's what you are completely. You couldn't be almost anything.
You're wrong, Harry. Almost is just the word for me. Among other things, I'm almost very rich.
It must be if you treat all your boyfriends to champagne.
You're a special case.
We won't argue about that, Patsy. I'm a special case. But what's an airline hostess get paid? Not to treat her boyfriends to champagne, even the special cases like me? No, Patsy, it doesn't make sense. You say you're rich.
I said I'm almost rich.
Well, then you must be almost stupid.
What do you mean?
Well, if I was almost rich, I wouldn't be working for my living at all. I wouldn't be found on an airplane unless I wanted to get someplace.
I said I was almost rich, Harry, and that's what I meant. That doesn't mean I've little money or enough money. It means I have to work for my living. I took this job to pay the rent and also because it brings me twice a week to Tangier.
What do you like about Tangier? A lot of international lawyers and private banks with streets full of American cars and grimy characters and nightshirts. Not very beautiful. As far as I can see, it's a kind of Switzerland with Arabs.
No, but it is beautiful, Harry, if you know the right places. Let me show you. Taxi, you know the Villa Mughetti?
The Villa Mughetti? Ah, yes, mademoiselle. Mademoiselle means the great palace on the hill. I know it well.
Good. Get in, Harry. I'm going to show you how beautiful Tangier can be.
Cab twisted and turned its tortuous way through the native quarter, and then pretty soon we were out in the country. We were climbing steadily, I noticed, and passing beautiful villas, homes of rich expatriates who've come to live in this strange little international settlement of Tangier, where you don't even have to register with your consulate, and nobody pays any income taxes at all. I think I neglected to mention that Patsy was beautiful. And if I did, believe me, I was understating the situation. She had gray eyes and that clear, powdery gold hair that makes you think of the ashes of angel's wings. I know an awful lot of girls, but none of them I've ever laid eyes on would have given Patsy a worried moment. There may be better-looking airplane hostesses, but if there are, they're working for airlines on another planet. As we climbed up the moon-bright hills over Tangier, I forgot completely the strange business which had brought me there, the advertisement in the paper, the airline ticket, and all the rest of it. I didn't care why I'd been sent for to Tangier. I didn't care who'd done it or what he wanted from me.
I adore kissing you. You do it very well. But we've come to our destination.
Yeah, so we have. Anyway, the cab stopped. When did that happen?
About 5 minutes ago.
Where are we?
Well, there's the bay below us.
Oh, very pretty it looks, too, with all the lights and moon and the water.
No, not now, Harry.
Please.
I'm very impatient. Now let's get out.
Why, it's nice in here.
It's nicer in the house.
And that enormous place?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, some kind of private mansion, it must be. I'm sure we'll be welcome.
Here, you take the key.
The key? You mean...
That's what I mean. You're my guest.
Yes, but how?
You've been my guest all along. Gentlemen traveling to Tangier, a visit to the desk.
But what do you...
You whistled a tune, didn't you?
Well, how do you know about it?
I had a friend once who told me how fond you've always been of that music.
No, I mean, how do you know about the ad in the paper?
I ought to know. I paid for it.
And my plane ticket.
I got a reduction from the airline. Come in, Harry. Here's a flashlight. I've got something to show you.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as The Third Man. Now, Orson Welles as the third man continues with today's story, Ticket to Tangier.
I followed Patsy into the house. It was a huge place, full of heavy chandeliers and pompous furniture, most of which are pretty spooky looking because they're covered with dust cloths. Obviously, the place hadn't been lived in for many months, but who was it who had lived here? Who was it that built this unlikely palace on a hill overlooking the harbor of Tangier? Above all, why had I been brought here? Just who was P. Smith, air hostess, and what did she expect me to do about it? We made a tour of several chambers before I even started to get any answers.
This way, Harry.
Oh. Where are we now?
This used to be a ballroom. Close the curtains, then we'll turn on the lights.
Okay.
You sure they're tight shut all round? We don't want the police to come and start asking questions.
You can say that again, honey. What have the cops got to do with you?
Nothing, yet. I'll turn on the switch. See that?
Huh? I see a piano, about 30 gilt chairs, a big rolled-up carpet, all very splendid and grand, but which particular item am I supposed to admire?
A carpet.
I'm not a connoisseur, Patsy, so if you brought me here to get an appraisal, I'm afraid we're both wasting our time. Thing about carpets.
Do you know about heroin?
Yes. Heroin is a drug. It is nasty and habit-forming, and its sale is controlled by international law.
Go on, tell me more.
I don't know any more about heroin. Not anything to speak of. I don't use drugs, Miss Smith.
But you sell them.
I just told you that the sale of heroin is controlled by law. Are you suggesting...
I'm suggesting that there isn't much you don't know about breaking the law. Any law.
You've got a point there. I won't try to deny that my knowledge of the subject isn't fairly extensive.
Why do you think I sent for you? Why do you think I brought you here? You're Harry Lyme, aren't you? Now, stop kidding for a minute and let's get down to business.
Well, first of all, I think you'd better answer a few questions, Miss P. Smith, air hostess.
That isn't necessary.
Maybe not, sweetheart, but I'm a curious type. I like the facts before I take on a job, all of them. First of all, what's your racket?
I haven't any racket. I'm an airline hostess.
Yes, but why?
Because it's a good job.
Yes, and because the run takes you to Tangier, am I right?
That's partly right, yes. But listen...
What's your real name?
What's it to you?
We'll play it my way, sweetheart, and we aren't playing it at all. Must need me awful bad to take all this trouble to look me up and move me. If you need me, you're going to cooperate. And start off with your real name and go on from there.
Did you ever hear of a man named Mugetti?
Mugetti? Rico Mugetti?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I thought the name of this place was familiar. I met Rico once in Marseille. Another time in Casablanca. He comes from Corsica, isn't that right?
He came from Corsica.
You mean he's dead?
Yes. I was his wife.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's no need to be sorry for me. I killed Rico myself.
Well, I'm sorry for Rico.
He wasn't a nice man, had he?
No, I guess he wasn't. I remember now I once saw him blind a man with a broken wine glass. You're right, Rico wasn't a very nice man, but he was careless.
How do you mean, careless?
Well, his wives, anyway. A man has to watch himself when he starts playing with wives. Sometimes they're loaded.
Why don't you stop kidding just for a minute?
What am I supposed to do? After all, there are only so many alternatives. I can make a joke about what you just told me, or congratulate you, or hand you to the cops. And now I think it's better if we treat it as a joke.
So this is the notorious Harry Lyme, the man no country can hold and who stops at nothing. You know what? I think you're actually shocked.
Maybe I'm not Harry Lyme at all. After all, an awful lot of people can whistle that song.
You'd better be.
I'd better be what, Loveboat? The original Harry Lyme? Not a facsimile? He doesn't like murder, Mrs. Mugetti. You say he stops at nothing. Well, believe you me, he stops at that. A, it's messy. B, it's silly. And C, there's no profit in it. Besides, Harry Lyme's mother always told him not to go around killing people. She said it wasn't nice.
You don't know the facts in the case, Harry. I was justified. I'll have to take my word for it.
I guess I will at that. And now, Mrs. Mugetti, if you don't mind, why have you brought me all the way to Africa to this empty house? You say there's a lot of heroin in that rug. Do I take your word for that?
You don't have to. You can look for yourself.
I told you before, honey, I don't know anything about dope.
You know people who do, don't you? People in Paris, in London, in New York.
Not intimately.
But you know how the drug traffic works. I don't. It was something new for Rico, some kind of big haul. He must have had a partner because he wouldn't have known how to dispose of it. It wasn't his line at all.
It isn't mine either, honey. I keep telling you that. How do you know it's so valuable?
He told me. I've been keeping it here in the house for months now. This airline job I have is perfect for smuggling the stuff, but I don't know who to take it to. I don't know what towns pay the best price. I don't know the names of the agents. Rico kept me away from that kind of thing. All I can remember was hearing him talk about you. You've got to help me, Harry.
What about the police?
They don't know it's here. I don't think they even know about the house. At least, there isn't anything against him in Tangier.
I mean about you. Don't you killed him, didn't you? How did the cops feel about that?
They don't suspect me. There's no reason why they should. I had a good alibi. I wasn't even...
Just tell me how you did that sometime.
So you can blackmail me? No, thanks, Harry. Let's keep our relationship on a nice, clean business level.
Now, that's the way I like to hear you talk.
Who are you?
To talk about that letter, Madame Borghetti. Now, I think it would be easier all round if you and Mr. Lyne put your hands in the air. Not too high. Just shoulder level, huh? Right. This is a very efficient gun I'm holding. Not a good mark.
How did you get in?
I have to tell you, Madame Borghetti, the explanation is so banal. Through the door. You left it open. Now then, where's the heroin?
Just a minute.
Yes, Mr. Lyne?
You seem to know my name, monsieur, but I'm afraid you have the advantage.
It doesn't matter. I was, shall we say, a business associate of this widow's lady's husband.
Okay, don't tell me. Let me guess. You began in Indochina. You served 3 years in a penal colony in Brazil. They used to call you the doctor, am I right?
I have a doctor's degree.
Dr. Bessie, that's your name.
What a detective you would make, Mr.
I have a good memory, Dr. Bessie, and I'm a professional collector of information. You will find the heroine in the piano.
In the piano?
Yeah.
This is probably a trick, Mr. Lyne. Suppose you go to the piano and extract the heroin.
Don't be silly, old man. It would be very simple for me to extract a revolver from the piano. I think it would be unpleasant for both of us if there was any shooting. There must be police in the neighborhood. I'd much prefer you to find your dope and leave quietly. I'm a peace-loving man.
Very well. I'll look for myself. I'm keeping my eye on you, Lyne. Now, then. Wait a minute. There is nothing here. What have you...
Put up your hands, Bessie. I'm warning you. I'll shoot if you don't.
What, you bitch?
Well, very quick, I must say. Congratulations. Strange. He said he was a good shot. Must have been boasting.
He should have kept his eyes on both of us, and nobody could do that. Is he dead?
I wouldn't know, Mrs. Borghetti. I haven't asked him. He looks that way. Have you any plans?
Yes, we'd better get out of here.
Now, isn't that funny? That's just what I was going to suggest.
Take the heroin. You can carry it just as it is in the rug.
No, thanks. I have a bad back, and I hate to stoop over. Why don't we just leave it where it is?
Let the cops find it and give up $100,000 worth of dough. Are you crazy?
Not crazy enough to argue with you as long as you're holding that gun, Patsy, but...
What's that?
Well, what do you think?
Maybe it's the police.
Either that or it's New Year's Eve. Douse the lights on.
Right.
Okay, and now? That's much better.
Why, you?
You... Well, you've got darkness and I've got the gun.
Give it back to me.
You're too impulsive for firearms, Mrs. Borghetti. I'm keeping the gun.
The cops!
Shut the
here.
Cops. Your husband built a nice big house, but it's getting a bit overcrowded. If you don't mind the suggestion, I think we better scram just 2 feet ahead of me, Mrs. Borghetti, and don't try anything funny.
You shanty.
Keep your seatbelt fastened. We're coming in. Our way out through the garden. The cops were all over the place, and after a while it was clear that our only hope was in separating. Patsy, you go through the shrubbery. Keep straight on down the field till you get to town. You can, miss it. Just keep going down the road.
What about you?
I'll make out all right.
Yes, but what about the heroine?
Heroine? There isn't any heroine in this story, Mrs. Borghetti. Just a hero. That's a joke, honey. You can laugh at it later when you catch your plane to Dakar.
Returns in just a moment. Now, Harry Lyne.
Of course, they got her. They took her off the plane on the return run to Paris. Somebody tipped off the police about that murder. It's what you might call the
wages of lying. It's another joke, but you don't have to laugh at it. I'll do the laughing. You see, what Patsy didn't know was that I had picked up the rug in the darkness and hid it under a bush just outside the window. I came back later and collected it. Of course, the word was out about Rico's big consignment and didn't have any trouble getting a good price in Marseille the next week. But honestly, I don't approve of drugs. That's why I threw the original stuff into the Bay of Tangier and delivered to the gangsters seven nicely wrapped packages of confectioner's sugar. They tell me you can get the habit for sugar, too, but my conscience is clear, all except for one thing, that little prayer rug it was wrapped in. I know it didn't belong to me, but it looks very nice here in front of the tea table, don't you think so? Will you have milk or lemon with your tea? And how much sugar? This is the very best brand, you know. A syndicate of desperate gangsters paid me $50,000 for only seven packages of the same quality.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big.